April Fools, I haven't actually called and pranked anybody or nothing in a long time, so count yourself fortunate. It ain't over yet, that's for sure. Yeah. Amen. I appreciated God's moving in the service this morning, amen, through Sunday school and then through worship, and then the power went out. You know, a lot of churches, that would have hindered them right then and there. They'd have, well, we're just, you know, that's it. You know, we're going to let church out early, but, you know, we made sure the blind was open so light could be seen, so the reading of God's word could come forth. Amen. And I appreciate that this morning. Amen. Amen. You can turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter number 4. Amen. I'm thankful, you know, as those that have said already tonight, I'm glad that he came and died on the cross. I'm glad that he is risen again. Amen. And we're going to talk just briefly about that this evening. Amen. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 17 through verse number 19. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now I want us to notice something right here. He found the place. They gave him the book. And, you know, I read this about whenever they would have these teachings and these sessions. When they would give the book to someone to read, it was already opened. A place had already been chosen for him. I want us to realize this here tonight. And he found the place where it was written. Verse number 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen. That's a powerful, powerful portion of Scripture. What really brings the power to the Scripture is the one that is reading it. Amen. At this moment in time, as he is given that book and he turns to this section of Scripture, and as he begins to read down through this, and as I begin to read down through this, amen, I just felt the power of God, amen, afresh and anew. That he came, amen, to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent, amen, so that he could heal the brokenhearted. Amen. And to preach deliverance to those that are captive. Amen. Whether you're brokenhearted here tonight, though you feel that you are captive, amen, that you've been held captive in a situation, amen, he is here tonight, amen, to bring liberty, amen, amen, to you here, amen, if you are bruised by this world, amen, by those around about you, amen, he's here to bring, amen, peace, amen, that's like a river, to bring strength where there is weakness. Amen. It's just the opening text, amen. I'm already getting excited. Amen. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Today, amen, right now, this is our year. We live in the year 2018. This is the acceptable year for the Lord's return. This is, amen, amen, we live, amen, for such a moment as this, amen, to stand and worship and glorify God, that we might be able to entertain, amen, the presence of God while we're on this earth. Amen. Try not to knock the flowers off tonight. Amen. Especially the ones that are blooming. Amen. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer here this evening. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to come into your house. We thank you, God, that you came and gave life. God, that we might have it more abundantly. I pray that you would anoint your word, God. Anoint my mind and my heart and my lips, God, as I speak what you have laid upon my heart. I pray that you would draw our hearts to these altars. God, open us up, God, that we might be made fresh and new. Have, amen, a fresh vision, God, of what you gave, Lord God, that we might be able to give something back. I pray that you'd work in our hearts and our lives tonight. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated here this evening. Amen. My title for the message here tonight is simple. He gave it all. He gave it all. He came to give it all. We find that in this portion of Scripture. Amen. As He fulfilled the prophecy, amen, of Isaiah here. As He begin to recite it. And then we find that when He leaves this place, the miracles that begin to happen. I just want to spend a few moments here this evening. And I want to hit some of the highlights. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase, because we kind of know the stories. But I want us to get a gist of what happened after Jesus Christ read these scriptures. We find that in chapter number 5 and verse number 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How many of you here this evening have went to Jesus Christ and had a certain issue that was just as leprosy? Amen. You came to Christ and you said, Lord, tried everything. I can't help this issue on my own. No doubt this man, it says he was full of leprosy. He was covered from head to toe, no doubt. He had experienced it. He was known as a leper. There's a lot of times we have a problem, amen, that's out on the surface that everyone else can see, but us ourselves keep denying it. And when we try, amen, when others try to pressure us and push us towards the cross, push us up towards the altar so that we can have that healing touch, so many times we begin to separate ourselves, amen, from the power of God because we feel like we're perfect, but He can begin to see, amen, the very things that we're trying to hide from. And all He wants to do is give us that help and that hope. This man had been to the place where he knew there was no one else that could help him. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I want us to look at something that Jesus Christ gave here. He gave hope where there was only hopelessness. No cure for leprosy. This man only knew one thing, and that was probably the colony that he resided in. Couldn't go see his family. He couldn't go and see his family on Passover and go to the sanctuary, to the tabernacle. The only thing he could do, church, was simply look from afar off. And when anyone would come close to him, he had to utter the words, unclean, unclean. We've got to begin to get and see the picture of where this man was at. He was in the pit of hopelessness. He only knew one thing, and that was that he was eventually going to die. And it was going to happen sooner than later. Because a lot of lepers in history, they were treated very poorly. A lot of people would poke fun at them, would throw stones at them. They treated him worse than they did a dog. This man was in the pit of hopelessness. But we find that he reaches out to Jesus Christ because he knew he of a man that was in a temple, in the synagogue, and he made a statement. He made a statement and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He had anointed me. No doubt this leprous man had heard whenever John baptized Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's seen a dove ascend from the heavens. Amen. And he began to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Depart from that place. No doubt he heard the rumors, amen, of a man that was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. No doubt he heard the stories of a man, amen, that had been tempted of the devil, and he became victorious. He had heard the stories because he knew he had hope. We find that he goes to Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't ask him to touch him. He just wanted him to speak the word. No doubt this leprous man, when Jesus Christ reached out his hand to touch him, that he no doubt drawled back. Because that's what he was supposed to do. But we find that he is made clean. Jesus Christ, he came to give healing to those, amen, that could find no cure. We find in verse number 24, it says, "But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine own house." This is the man that was born by his four friends that had to tear a roof off. Amen. The power of God was present to heal, but no one was being touched and the house was full, that a man that wanted to get healing could not get in. So many times in our life, amen, God wants to touch us, but the house is full of people that could care less about touching God. But it's up to us, amen, to stand up on our own two feet and be willing to carry somebody to the altar and allow them to let God begin to touch and move in their hearts and in their life, if we're just willing to give something because He gave all. Amen. Hallelujah. And immediately this man rose up before them, a man that hadn't walked in years, a man that only dreamed of walking because it had been taken from him. A man that only dreamed of being able to reach across the counter and pick up a glass of water. The man that only dreamed of being able to feed himself again. We've got to begin to see the picture where this man was at. He was to such a position that no doubt on the way to see Jesus that he began to try and talk his friends out of it because his eyesight hadn't been hurt. He said, "The house is full. There's no way I can get inside there. Just take me back home so I can die." But instead we find these four men were willing to push past, amen, the physical issue of a crowded room. How many of us here tonight are willing to give something to push past, amen, our physical ailments, to push past our physical barriers and begin to reach in and touch Jesus Christ? Yet once again, as these men had a desire to see, we find, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Amen. The next verse says, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." Think about that for just a minute. How many times do we come to the house of God, and He gives everything to pour into our service, amen, to try and see somebody helped? And instead of us simply getting up and glorifying God and letting Him have His way and saying, "Lord, use me. If you can use anything, you can use me." But instead we simply sit there and we say, "Lord, if you can use anybody, use somebody but me." We begin to say those things in our minds and in our hearts because we don't, amen, want to be inconvenienced by the moving of God. He gave it all. What are you giving tonight? These four men were willing to put aside, amen, that they were going to have to patch up somebody's roof. They put aside that they were going to make a fool of themselves in some people's eyes. They put aside the fact that they might not be able to break through. But they made a decision that I'm going to try. I'm going to give something. A lot of times in the church world of today, we find, amen, a service just like what had happened here. The house was full. Nobody's being touched. But all of a sudden, somebody that somebody else was praying for that might not even be in the church service, amen, gets touched. And we all stand up and we look around, say, "What in the world just happened?" Amen. We've seen something strange today. But I'm here to tell you, at Calvary Lighthouse Church, it shouldn't be strange, but it should be lively. It should be, amen, service day in and day out. We should experience somebody being delivered, somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. to move in our house. We shouldn't just simply sit around and have questions in our minds. Who is this man that tells this other man that his sins can be forgiven? It shouldn't matter, because we know it's Jesus Christ, the one, amen, who gave his life so that I could have life and I could have it more abundantly. We find down in chapter number 7, verse 12, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out." Brother Jason made mention of this story in Sunday school and several other stories that I had picked out. Amen. That's okay. "And now he came nigh to the gate of the city. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much of the city, people of the city, was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bearer, and they bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." We don't only find this miracle here, but we can find the miracle of Lazarus. We can find the miracle of Jairus' daughter. We can find the miracle of the centurion. Amen. We can begin to look back and we can begin to see how God began to bring miraculous miracles. Amen. Time and time again. Amen. We find as God himself in the flesh with the power of the Holy Ghost inside of him was able to make a difference. Amen. In a dead body, he was able to make a difference. In a sick girl, he was able to make a difference. With a woman with an issue of blood, he was able to make a difference. Amen. In 10 lepers' lives, he was able to make one. Amen. Perfect. And knew without scar, because he turned and he realized what had happened. How many times do we get touched by God and we simply go out of the service without saying thank you? How many times do we experience someone else getting help at the altar and not turn around and give thanks for what God has done, even if it wasn't for you, because of what he's done for somebody else? We've got to begin to have that appreciation. He gave it all. What are you giving back to him? We find that this mother's life had been renewed. Her hope had been set. Amen. Amen. Again. Amen. To what it was supposed to be. Hope for another generation. Hope for more life. No doubt, this mother had already tried to figure out who was going to help her on the farm or around the house. This young man was buried in a casket. Only the wealthy were able to have that kind of burial. We've got to begin to realize this wasn't just some ordinary young man. This was somebody who was somebody, amen, that meant something. We find the whole city is with her. At the gate. She was somebody, amen, that had some clout, that meant something in the community. His father was somebody. We don't know who he was. But this woman had lost everything. She lost her husband. We don't know if it was something that had happened with the Romans. We don't know his backstory. All that we know is the Bible found it important enough to mention that she was a widow, and that this was her only son. We can see here in the scripture that she was weeping, she was crying, she was mourning for her loss. Not only her, but the whole city with her. She had no doubt thought to herself, I've lost everything. I've lost my husband. No doubt she may have recounted and remembered the day and how it happened. And now she says, I have lost my son. I have gave everything. But as she is going out of the gate, headed to this young man's tomb. She is met with a man that recognizes a sacrifice. And he stops the procession. And he makes this statement: weep not. There's nothing to cry about. And at that moment, just begin to picture with me. I was out by the road last week, and there was a funeral procession that was going by with everybody else that already left from work. I was out there trying to move a building around, and this is what really brought this image to my mind even that much more real. As the funeral procession came by, I seen the cars coming, and I stopped my work and standing there honoring whoever it was that had fallen and had left this life into the next. And I begin to think at that moment, what would happen if it was Christ that stepped in front of that cars and stopped and said, "Hey, hold up a minute. Don't cry anymore." I can recount a few different stories. There's a man of my grandpa's church years and years ago that was, by all accounts, was already gone. They got around the table and started praying for him. Got to the point where they just, all of them was exhausted from all of the prayer. They got around and prayed one more time. And up off the table, again. Do we do that anymore? We find that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Brother Jason brought out, he had already started to stink. Didn't stop Jesus. He was full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get to this here in a minute. He was full of the Holy Ghost. That's what gave him the power to see things changed. What would happen if we would give ourselves completely over to the power of God? Brother Robert, he turned over to the power of God. We're not sore anymore. Those bones that hurt, hey, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost, it don't hurt anymore. Amen. I've heard stories of people that were healed and where actual, amen, limbs, hands, and fingers were grown back. Say, how's that happen? The power of God. We find that Jesus Christ, he met a man on the Sabbath, and his hand was withered, was drawn up. And he told, "Stretch your hand forth." And as he began to stretch it forth, and this is my own imagination. This is Lucas Sanders' commentary, you can believe it or not. But I believe that he stretched it forward as far as he could get it. He might have had it out already as far as it could go. Might have said, "Stretch your hand. Stretch it forth." He had to push more power and more strength than he'd ever pushed before. Probably to the point where it hurt. And then all of a sudden, there it came. He had just been given something that he hadn't had his whole life. We find there's a man by the name, amen, amen, that's sitting by the wayside. And he cries out to Jesus' name. He said, "David, have mercy on me." And he removes his cloak that identified who he was. We would be willing to get rid of and give the things that identify us to Jesus Christ and begin to allow him to clothe us, amen, with a new identity. Amen. That we might be named his child. Amen. Stay up there. Amen. I got to keep going here this evening. We find in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. How many times do we make that statement? Lord, Lord, I'm done for. Oh, God, help me. These guys were out in a boat, and the water was coming in the boat. Like somebody had pulled the plug. And Jesus is sleeping. Say, Master, Master, don't you care we perish? We're about to die. Amen. And he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water. And they ceased and they were calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I'll tell you here just for a moment, no matter what kind of storm you're in the midst of tonight, church, no matter what kind of storm, amen, those that might be listening, amen, on Facebook is in tonight. No matter what kind of storm that somebody might be listening to this message later is in. Amen, I'm here to tell you tonight, no matter the storm, Jesus Christ himself is in the boat, amen, with you. Amen, just waiting for you to call upon his name. Amen, and be willing to make contact with him. Amen, I got the flower. Amen. Sorry, Sister Pepper. Amen. Pollen goes everywhere. We find that he was there. And he was willing. He gave it all. He gave everything he had and everything he did. Amen. I'm hurrying along here. We find on down this in this verse, as he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and he wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He lived where the dead were. Again, we've got to get a visual of where this man was at. He goes running to Jesus Christ, and he cries out to him and fell down and with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And he made this statement. Made the statement later, as Jesus asked the question, "Who are you?" He said, "We are legion, for we are many." They asked him. They begged him. He said, "God," he said, "Don't send us down to the deep. Don't send us down there yet. I want us to get this picture in our mind. Hell is so bad that the devils that possessed this man did not want to go. They were more willing that they would experience the punishment of acknowledging who Jesus Christ was. You know, this wasn't something easy for them. They had to surrender their power to him. Said, the Son of God, have mercy on us. What does that tell you? We've got to begin to get a visual of what hell could be like. Because when we have that visual, we realize what Jesus Christ saved us from, it will give us a more fervent prayer for those that are lost. I remember my grandpa Sanders, he used to say this prayer. I can remember we had a family member that was really going through something, and they were in the process of making a very bad decision. And I was over at their house spending the night that night. A couple nights that week, and I don't remember what was going on. My brothers and sisters was having something done in the hospital or something, and I was there. And I remember hearing my grandpa praying in the next room. And he was in there crying, God, please, please shake them over hell's fire, that they might realize the mercy that you are extending. Help them to realize the fiery place that you are trying to save them from. And I remember I was probably, I couldn't have been much older than probably Tori, if I got it right, or Lauren, whichever one you are. Yeah. One of the girls here, I was 6, 7 years old. And I remember asking Grandpa, why are you praying? Why are you praying like that, you know? I didn't quite understand. He said, because I am fearful for their soul. And I want them to be saved. He gave it all. What are you giving tonight? We find that this man, on down in verse 35, that they went out to see what was done. This is after the man, amen, had been delivered. The legion of devils were sent into the swine and off into the ocean. And the men of that country went to the city to tell what had happened. We find in verse 35 that they went out to see what was done. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Here's somebody else that was another group of people that was afraid because of what God had done. He had wrought a great work. And they stood in fear instead of giving thanks. Amen. They also, which saw it, told them by what means, of what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. They seen that he was healed, made pure, and was in his right mind. Jesus Christ sent him back to his country, to his city, to be a missionary, to witness, to be that light that city needed. We find in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh, amen, of the waters that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the waters that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He gives us everlasting life. Amen. John 6:50 and verse 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world. John 7:37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, amen, as the scripture saith, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake, amen, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. The promises that he has given us. He gave us life. Gave us life everlasting. Amen. He will give us the Holy Ghost that springs up a well inside of us that renews us, refreshes us, and revives us no matter the storm that we are in. We find in John chapter number 12 and verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Verse 27 says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came the voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it is thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. When we have a tongue and interpretation in this house, amen, it's something that he is giving to us to encourage us, to challenge us. It is the word of God proceeding from his mouth, amen, into our ears, that we might have hope, that we might have correction, that we might have life. Amen. We find Now this is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. John 19 and verse number 1. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Can you get the picture? I think a lot of times we just read it as a story and try to go on with life. But do you get the picture? The thorns that are plaited upon his brow. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. A man that was beaten beyond being able to recognize who he was brought before the church. And they said, and he told them, I don't find anything wrong with him. And they made the statement, crucify him. Still, crucify him. Rid of him. Treat him worse than a thief. Worse than the murderers. We find that whenever they would find somebody that was guilty of murder or thievery, they would not take them to the whipping post first. They would take them and place them in stocks and prepare their execution. They didn't take them and put a crown of thorns on them and spit on them and smack them around. They had a process. But for Jesus Christ, we find they made a mockery of him. We find that they had proved that there was nothing wrong with him. And yet, these men and women cried out. They wanted him crucified. Then he delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing the cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew called Golgotha. And where they crucified him and two others with him on either side. One on either side, one. And Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title then read, Many, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. And then said the chief priest to the Jews, of the Jews, to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier a part, and his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then they said among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. And these things, therefore, the soldiers did. Verse number 30 says, When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, where he had said, I thirst, he said, It is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Matthew 27:51 says, picking up basically in the same place here, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And in this moment, in the moment where he said these words, it is finished. And the Spirit of God was let out. The Holy Ghost of God went with Christ to show forth victory over death, hell, and the grave. When he uttered those words, it is finished. God no longer, amen, retained his presence inside of that place. He now moved out amongst mankind. Matthew 27 or 28 and verse 6 and 7 says, he is not here. We don't simply, amen, end the story where Christ died, but he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples. We know this story. They go and tell them. And they say, go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. We find in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He gave it all up on the cross. He bled and died so I could have life. And so that I could have the Holy Ghost. We find in Acts chapter number 2 that they were together in an upper room. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven. The place was shaken. Amen. A fire came and set upon each and every one of them. They spoke in another tongue as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. He gave them the power. He gave them the power of the Holy Ghost. They were filled. He gave it all. He gave us healing. Sister Lindsay, if you get a song ready, go ahead and come to the piano. He gave us salvation. He gave us the Holy Ghost. I'm going to close with this. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He gave it all. What are you giving today? You may be broken in pieces, completely in shambles. Let me just tell you, give it to God and let Him pour in the Holy Ghost oil and begin to give the healing process. Isaiah 6 and 1, the Spirit of the Lord, this is the portion of Scripture where Christ read, the Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He gave it all. He bled and died so that I could have life. He bled and died so that the Holy Ghost could be sent. Without this, we could not have the same power at it. We find that there was a place, a pastor quoted the scripture, Where he said the fields are white, they're ripe, ready for harvest. But in the very next portion of Scripture, he sent out 72 men to go out and minister, to try and begin to reap in those fields. In our world today, church, there's a lot of men and women that are out spreading their own propaganda, their own message. But we have the goods. We know what the real power of God can do. He gave it all. What are you going to give in return so that you might see someone else healed? See someone raised from the dead. See someone that is brokenhearted all of a sudden begin to have the joy of salvation. Amen. Church, as Sister Lindsay begins to sing, let's come down these altars tonight. Let's find ourselves a place to pray. Amen. I know we're going to take communion here in a little while. Let's prepare our hearts for what God wants to do. Don't let this just simply be another Sunday evening service, simply praying in the same place, saying, this is my acceptable place. But begin to move out and move into the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.